They want their parents to have full recognition and full status. The voice of those children is important in this case, don't you think?
When did it become unconstitutional to exclude homosexual couples from marriage? When did the law become this?
You want us to step in and render a decision based on an assessment of the effects of this institution, which is newer than cell phones or the internet?
That gives you a clue. Three justices weighing in there. Little snippets. Anthony Kennedy started things off. Sam Alito, then Antonin Scalia. And that's where we begin with the robes. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, welcome to this version of America Tonight. In the nooks and crannies, you have lots of opinions about gay marriage, and maybe that's where it will stay, meaning with the states. The court looked at Prop 8, and by now I think you understand what Prop 8 is. It's really the fate of gay marriage in California. Prop 8, it was a strange deal when they actually voted on it in Cali, and the lower federal courts ruled Proposition 8 unconstitutional. And what it did was voters went to the polls, voted, and voted against same-sex marriage. In Hollywood, and in Southern California especially, which would mean Hollywood types, said that people didn't understand what Prop 8 was. Now, this has gone before the Supreme Court justices, and this is just one of two cases that they're looking at dealing with same-sex marriage rights. At this point, nine states say yes to that, but California got caught in the crosshairs of this Prop 8 thing. So there's a range of options as to what could happen with the people in the robes. What could the Supremes do? We won't know until June. One of the things they could do is issue a procedural ruling that would apply only to California, or expanding some same-sex marriage rights beyond California to a few or even all of the 50 states. You could tell by the answer of John Roberts, Chief Justice, asking again and again whether the case should have reached the high court at all. I think this was a clue as to what may end up being the pushback onto the states. The lower courts actually held that the official citizen sponsors of the measure had legal standing to defend Prop 8. Justice Stephen Breyer suggests that federal precedents might not allow private individuals to represent a state government's position in court. So they were zeroing in, I think, on a couple of different things. And both lawyers, in defending it and tearing it down, proposed interesting rationale for that. But people lined up like you wouldn't believe for these tickets, as though it were some giant concert that was being held, paying, in some cases, $6,000 to get a seat into the court. Who knew you could buy your way in, huh? There is a kind of a metaphor, I think, somewhere in the middle of that. And the deal is, you have also, like Massachusetts, no state authorized same-sex marriage until Massachusetts did in 2004. So that's what he meant when they're saying, look, we have like 5 years of information to weigh against all this history or more. So, you know, at the same time, he continued denying marital status to gay couples. He's saying potentially harmed at least one group, their children. You heard him say about the children, because they don't have full recognition. So this is going to be tossed around. I don't think this isn't going to be something that comes down the pike easily. And that's, you know, look for June for sure, right before they skedaddle for the summer, because they're looking for some context here in law and constitutionality and all of that. And I don't know. This is about, as Ted Olson said, the label in the case. What supporters of Prop 8 are saying is all you're interested in is the label, and you insist on changing the definition of the label. this isn't the only thing, as I said, that comes before the court. This is just one. Prop 8 is one. And then they'll also look and weigh constitutionally, and this is what's so strange, after Prop 8, there's another argument to be had, too. Wednesday, they're going to hear a challenge to the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. And remember, you have to go back to the 90s for this, 96, in fact. It was a law that denied federal recognition and benefits like exemption from the estate tax to same-sex spouses. So that's the challenge to the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. And it is crazy. People are all over the Supreme Court, on the outside, screaming, yelling, a lot of people wanting in on the gay marriage argument and where are we headed with this. I think, I'll say it again, it gets kicked back because they're being very cautious and tiptoeing around a few things here. I think it gets kicked back into the states anyway. If you want to weigh in, you know you're always welcome to throw in your two cents. Should the Supreme Court weigh in or just push it back? Let voters decide in the individual states. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283, or is too much money being thrown around on this whole issue in the first place, and keep it out of politics? It's too late for that, because it's been into politics for a long, long time. All right, how about the politics of the drone? We're going to talk about that here in this hour of America tonight, too, because it's something that happened with a commercial flight over New York and a drone. If those two would encounter each other, who do you think wins? Who do you think loses? And it might not be the answer that seems obvious. Let's put it that way. Coming up in our this hour, we're going to have a conversation with one of GM's top execs talking about how they continue to government motors, how they continue to pour into the profits quarter after quarter after quarter because they're finally getting it right and listening to the American people when it comes to the kind of cars and the kind of trucks and stuff they want, doing a lot of focus groups and ignoring what some other people are telling them to do. So that conversation is coming up next, in fact. Think of, like, the new Corvette. Think of some of what we've seen with the Cadillac. And think of the best-selling trucks, places where we see that there are a lot of trucks on the road out west, Arizona, Texas, Oklahoma. I mean, certainly in the Midwest, people have trucks, too. But I think the majority of your trucks are probably sold. And I asked him this. In the West Coast versus the East Coast, because it's just a practical thing if you're out hauling stuff and whatnot. Not that you couldn't be doing that someplace else, but certainly a lot of people are doing it in those locales. And that's part of our It's Your Business segment. And as I mentioned, then we're going to talk about the drones a little bit and the FAA investigating a big flight and an encounter with a drone. Everything that we all fear. Hang with us.
Prepared against possible food shortages and economic collapse is not complicated. Just remember two words, disaster, stuff. Add.com after those two words and you've got just one site for all your preparedness needs. DisasterStuff.com prepares your family against food shortages with Linden Farms freeze-dried foods in buckets or Gourmet Reserves freeze-dried food in number 10 cans, both with free shipping. Purify and rid your water of contaminants with a Big Berkey or other Berkey system and get free shipping plus a water level spigot or fluoride filter at cost, and protect your radios and other electronics from EMPs with our EMP Faraday bags starting at just $5.90. When the food shortages and economic instability happens, be ready with all your stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Just remember two words, DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. Do you know the number one most valuable item in a crisis? Some people think the answer is gold. Others think it's a gun. But the correct answer will shock you. I just created a free video at crisis123.com that reveals a surprising item that is more valuable than gold in a crisis. 97% of Americans don't have this one critical item. In fact, they haven't even given it a thought. And the sad truth is that you may not survive without it when a real crisis hits and a starving mob is right outside your door. What I have to tell you could literally make the difference between life and death for you and your family. Watch my video at crisis123.com to discover the number one most valuable item in a crisis. You'll be shocked. See the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go watch my video now at crisis123.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's crisis123.com.
America Tonight, in this edition of It's Your Business, we talked before about General Motors and how things have really turned around for them, and really, once again, they've had another quarter of profitability. So joining us in the wings, I think he just pulled up in his new truck, is GM's Greg Martin. Hey, Greg, how are you?
Kate, I'm really happy to be back. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Is it the trucks? Is it the 2014 Silverado? I see a ton of commercials for that. Or the 2014 Sierra. Is this what's helped turn the company around, or what do you attribute it to?
Well, it's one part of what's turned around the company. The trucks are just a part of it. You know, in the next 18 months, we're going to have the 27 newer refreshed vehicles out. Trucks, of course. I think you've probably seen some coverage on the new Corvette that came out. It's an absolutely stunning car. Cadillac this week at the New York Auto Show is going to be unveiling the new CTS. So, you know, you can do so many things with your balance sheet and the financials behind the scenes, but at the end of the day, it really comes down to building the best cars and trucks, and we think we have a good winning formula on that.
Was that part of the deal when GM went back to the drawing board, was bailed out? You know, we go back a few years, and then you start to watch and sit there and figure out, okay, what are we doing? What do we need to do? When you revamp a business model, and you've seen the company go through this, what was at the core of that? What was at the heart of, okay, how are we turning this around long term? Everybody's going to be looking at us every single quarter, but how do we take this a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years down the road and make this profitable?
Well, it really started getting back to basics for us, you know, over the course of decades. And keep in mind, General Motors didn't end up in bankruptcy for something that did overnight. It really was a course of decades of really poor decisions, shared equally, I would add, between both management and the people that worked for the company, and put it in such a financial position that it completely removed the company's focus, its energy, and its resources away from the customer, to where we were trying to keep what ultimately everybody found out was an unsustainable business model. We were trying to sustain that, and all of our efforts were going to try to prop this company up. And anything that we did for the customers, anything that we did for the products was incidental. So, you know, now that we went through that traumatic experience, got her house in order, we're really in a position where it's a full focus on the customer, what they want, where do they see real value, where do they see the quality of the cars and trucks that we build, and that's where we've rolled up our sleeves and really jumped into it. And at the end of the day, that's what's going to turn General Motors around. If you help us and give us $40+ billion, by goodness, we got to do something. We got to do business differently, and it really starts with that customer focus. If we don't, shame on us. And I'd like to say that we are achieving some tremendous progress. We're investing back in this country, so we like our prospects, and I think we'll do the country proud once again.
Do you do that through? Was a lot of that digging through focus groups and whatnot? How do you find out? Okay, how do we really tap into the demographics of this country and what they're looking for in cars and trucks?
Well, there's focus groups, there's research, there's real listening, understanding the market. But the way you do that is you go out and seek the best talent, the best minds, and you let them do their job, and don't let them get bogged down into the swamp of bureaucracy and red tape. Again, anything that takes their eye away from what the customer wants and where the market is going is bad. And, you know, again, you can clean your balance sheet up. You can do some technical things through the course of bankruptcy, but unless you fundamentally change how you do business, then you're throwing good money after bad. And there is just, to a person at General Motors, there's this mentality of never again, and the customer is our real compass and directs us in everything that we do.
Do you look at your key competitors? I mean, who would you say the competitors are to what you're offering now that you're having a lot of success with?
Well, when you look at different segments of the market, certainly, you know, in the luxury market where there are some really some very high margins on the products that really help your bottom line and some outstanding performance. Certainly nobody does it better than Germans when you look at Audi and certainly what Porsche and BMW have been doing. When you look at the high volume, what we call the value segments, you know, where Chevrolet competes and, of course, Ford and Toyota are formidable competitors on a global basis, Toyota and Volkswagen, in terms of their entries into developing countries. So, you know, it's a very hyper-competitive cutthroat industry, which, you know, it's good. It keeps us up at night, but it certainly helps the customer because everybody's competing for their business.
So tell us, you said you're unveiling the Cadillac. What's new and awesome about the Cadillac this time around?
Well, the Cadillac CTS is just a really refined and elegant design. It's a little understated, but I think very, very elegant and classy. But it's got a real monster under the hood. So you get the performance aspect with it. You get a real sense of the road and the driving experience. And, you know, that's the approach that we're taking on luxury. Some of our competitors like Lexus want a more, I don't want to say sedate experience. I would call it the isolation chamber. I'm one that likes the active aspect of driving. So you get a little bit of performance with a Cadillac, but it's a real stunning car. So we have the CTS coming out. We have a smaller sporty Cadillac and the ATS, which I might add won North American Car of the Year at the North American International Show. Is the first time that the Cadillac has won that prestigious award. And then, of course, the larger XTS sedan. So we're making some real strides with our premier luxury brand. So keep an eye on Cadillac. And then, of course, as you mentioned, we have the new trucks coming out this year, too, which are a big bread and butter product for us.
And talking about the demographics, are the Cadillac, it's not your daddy's Cadillac anymore, is it? I see a lot of women, young women, driving Cadillacs.
No, I mean, people would be very surprised at the changing demographics. Cadillac is not an old person's car. Surprisingly, neither is Buick, and those demographics continue to get younger. Now, I have to say, We value every customer that we have. And what I like to say that, when you look at certain markets, whether it's 60 or 70, the active lifestyles that people are living at any age, we're certainly welcome to have them and climb into our cars and take them for a spin. But, again, we're reaching different segments of the market that we haven't reached in the past, and again, that's attributable to the products that we're designing.
Yeah, the Silverado and the Sierra. Where are there certain marketplaces? I've always wondered this. Are there certain marketplaces that just sell better? I mean, in New York City, are you selling a bunch of Silverados and Sierras?
No, but we'll sell them in Texas. And the other thing too is, these trucks are made for work. And you look at both coasts. I mean, there's a reason in the United States that Ford and Chevy, through their pickups, are the one and two number selling vehicles among all vehicles, cars and trucks, in the United States. That's because they're the real backbone, and they do the work for this country. They move things. They help build things. The good news is when you see a spike in trucks, which we've seen over the last year and a half, that's a good thing for America because that says that the economy's coming back. You can chart increased truck sales with a very robust growing economy, and so that's all that should be a sign that the economy is trying to grab a foothold and claw its way back. So we're seeing positive direction in that respect, and we're looking at new pickup trucks for both Chevy and GMC that have the power and capability that people need in a truck, but without sacrificing fuel economy. I think our customers will be pleasantly surprised when they see the fuel economy in our new V8 engines, and I think our competitors will be shocked.
Yeah. What's the biggest car show? What's the one that the granddaddy of them all that you like to go to the best?
Well, the Oscar of car shows is the North American International Car Show held in beautiful Detroit in January, no less. So. Mm-hmm. Any auto show in Detroit in January that attracts thousands of people around the world is a testament to the industry and to the cars that are on display. My favorite happens to be going on this week in New York City. I love New York City, and the fact that it's held right before Easter lets me know that spring's right around the corner, and I think all of us could use some spring-like weather. But I don't know about you, Kate, but I've absolutely had enough of this winter, so I'm looking forward to Easter and spring right around the corner.
I agree with you. Good stuff, GM's Greg Martin. We'll talk to you again down the road.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
To have a fighting chance against cold and flu bugs, get the world's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. Fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi with Allicin Plus C. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allicin Plus C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allicin Plus C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allicin Plus C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allicin Plus C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. To order, call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. Or go to AllicinPlus.com, spelled AllicinPlus.com. Get Allicin Plus C from Affinity Health Products.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135, and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove Minimal Wood Use Cooking Stoves. Available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to TaxHelpOnline.com. That's TaxHelpOnline.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Besides calling our digits, 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283, you can shoot us an email at americatonight.net. And not surprisingly, every single day the mailbox is overflowing. So let's check some mail.
You have mail, mistress.
Ah, thank you very much. All right, let's see here. This is from Ken, listening to us in Illinois. Ken says, hello, Kate Delaney. I've listened to your show for quite some time. Keep up the good work. This is the first time I've actually written to you. Surprisingly, I don't want to talk about the Supreme Court and the gay marriage deal, and I don't really want to talk about anything going on in politics when it comes to money. I do want to talk about this Amanda Knox situation. Maybe I sat around on Saturday nights too much and watched Dateline, but I must have heard this girl's story 50 times in lots of different directions, meaning I thought she was getting jammed up from the beginning, and it turns out that Amanda Knox could be convicted for murder and extradited to Italy. What do you make of that? Well, what I do make of it, and I brought it up when we had our guests in the first hour, just briefly, what the reaction was on the Hill. What I do know is this is interesting for Italy, because the U.S. and the Italian courts could enter into a very strange situation here. You have a U.S. constitutional ban on double jeopardy, or being tried twice for the same offense, as you all know, after an acquittal against international extradition agreements. So the issue is whether a lower court decision overturning her conviction amounted to an acquittal. If she's retried after she's acquitted, that would violate her constitutional rights. But the United States has an extradition treaty. So they accept Italy's criminal justice system because they agreed to it. If you have no idea what this story is about, Knox and her former boyfriend were accused of killing a 21-year-old roommate. Her roommate, Meredith Kircher is her name, during a crazy, drug-driven, sexual romp in Italy. And they were found guilty in 2009, sentenced to 26 and 25 years in prison. Then an appeals court overturned the convictions of both after forensic experts challenged evidence from the original trial. So this, for her, has to be really crazy, thinking, certainly not thinking, that they were going to go round and round again here. The Italian government could ask for extradition once the courts reached a final decision. If so, the U.S. State Department would have to decide whether to act on the request. If they could comply, then they deploy and they go to seek her extradition. But it's unpredictable how that plays out in front of a U.S. judge who would have to weigh the constitutional protection. So that this could end up being a really big deal, again, depending on what ultimately they decide. If they find her guilty, then that's where that gets really, really dicey. So it would be the same thing vice versa if that happened to an Italian citizen in the U.S. So the U.S., they would be extraditing her or not. You can be tried up to three times by the Italian courts for the same crime. How ridiculous is that? Boy, and as much as I complain about our justice system, I think I'd take it over anything else that's out there right now. In England, guilty until proven innocent. In Italy, you can try you three times. Oh, we don't like our first verdict. Let's go back again. Let's try that again. Oh, we don't like the second verdict. Let's try that again. If first you don't succeed, try again. Ugh. Let's move on to Jacob listening to us in California. Jacob says, hello, America, tonight. I wish I was on the East Coast there to hear what the Supreme Court had to say. I have to tell you that it was such a sham, Prop 8, in the first place, because most people didn't understand what it meant. Unfortunately, it banned gay marriage in the state. As a gay man, I think people are idiots and morons to waste time on this. How much money has been burned through on gay marriage? I don't care what public opinion is. I think even in my own circles, which are not gay circles, people don't really care. They think it's ridiculous. Why is this part of our politics? It doesn't make any sense. No wonder why we're drowning in debt. I hope the Supreme Court does the right thing. And I hope people that are listening to your show and other shows understand that gay people are just like heterosexual people. We put our pants on the same way you do. The case, I think, I've said this before, I'll say it again. I think that what happens is it gets just kicked back. I think it'll go back to the states, and the states will just decide, meaning they're not going to make a ruling on it. The whole Prop 8 thing has been a thorn in California's side ever since it came up because of the argument that people didn't really understand what it meant. But there were certainly people that supported Prop 8. And I think that it'll just get brought up again, and California voters will go out and end up taking a vote. Because the highest court that California had ruled that the coalition, which was the group that had Prop 8 on the ballot, had standing to pursue the case. But justices from the liberal side and the conservative side of the court were skeptical of the ruling. So that means, to me, if our top justices are saying that, that means that they're going to push it back, is what I believe. I think that's what will probably happen here. But we'll see in June. We'll have a ruling in June. A lot of people say that. A lot of people say, I mean, who cares? Why are we wasting so much money on this? And then ultimately just let it dive back into the states, which is where it should be. All right, here's another one. This one from the Mackerel, listening to us in Pennsylvania. The Mackerel says, yo, Delaney, I heard you talking about Mark Kelly and his AR-15. Isn't it funny that the gun store is now saying, forget it, we don't want to do that, because he used the store to prove a point that he could get a gun so easy, and they don't want to be part of that play. You have to hand it to the store for coming out and saying, forget about it, and issuing a statement. They didn't like the fact that they were featured pretty much in the news all over the place because of the point that he was trying to prove. I don't have a dog in this one, as they say. I don't understand why we can't let people just defend themselves, but I'm not rabid about it. It seems to me that this is definitely the biggest divider in our nation right now. Guns, the war over guns, I don't know if it's the biggest divider in the nation. It would be one of them. You've got gay marriage, you have immigration problems, you have a slew of other things. The financial system, taxes versus cutting spending, what's happening in Washington. I think there are a handful of other things that are on the same plateau. I think that there are three or four things that are going burning right now. And one at a time, the dominoes are starting to fall into place. All right, here, let's get another one. This one from Jill, listening to us in Dallas. And Jill says, hey, Kate, I got to say, let people who are gay get married. Who cares? I'm straight. I've been married to the same man for 15 years. We have three kids. I'm happy. But I'm happy to not judge other people. While gay marriage wouldn't be for me, it wouldn't be for most of the people I know. Can't we just live and let other people live? Do we have to dictate what we think is right to everybody else? Isn't there something about that holier-than-thou attitude that gets you in trouble in the first place? Why are we wasting time on gay marriage? How about people just decide and vote, since now it's become an issue on so many ballots? Keep listening to the show. Rock on, sister. I think that people do feel that way. People feel that, why are we burning through money to go through this? Especially if you're talking about local governments could put it on their, could have voters vote on it. But some people don't think it's right to vote on it either. So they would strike that down too. Let's go to Rick in Illinois. Rick, what do you think?
I just wonder how our great icon liberal John Roberts is going to vote.
I think they push it out. I think they just say, you know, they're not going to have a ruling on it. They're going to have a backdoor way around it and toss it back to the courts, the lower courts. I that's why Justice Roberts kept saying, I think I noticed your comment, that was funny. That's why Roberts kept saying, why are we hearing this? Should we be hearing this? He kept making statements to that effect. I think setting up and letting everyone know that they were going to kick it back.
Well, Fez is there and watching it. She's a lesbian, so that's why he's going to vote.
Yeah. I think it's sticky for all of them. And that's the thing. How far, Rick, that's what you got to ask yourself. How far on the line do they want to put themselves, especially based on the way rulings went with the Obamacare stuff? Especially Roberts in that situation. I don't think so. I think that this becomes kind of a nothing burger in June and maybe upsets a lot of people as a result of that. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Over 50,000 satisfied squatting customers can't be wrong. If you suffer from difficult or painful bowel movements, join the thousands who are finding success with a Squatty Potty. Not a cleanse, ointment, or pill, Squatty Potty is a simple, lightweight, yet sturdy footstool that fits around any toilet and elevates your feet. Squatty Potty improves your posture, and that allows proper alignment of the colon. The result is faster, more effective elimination and relief from nagging constipation, hemorrhoids, IBS, and blood. Loading. Squatty Potty is doctor recommended and endorsed and comes with a 60-day hassle-free money-back guarantee. The Squatty Potty, a healthy step in the right direction. Squatty Potty starts at just $34.95 and can only be ordered by calling 855-628-1099 or through our website, SquattyPotty.com, spelled S-Q-U-A-T-T-Y Potty.com. Squatty Potty, healthy colon, happy life.
Coming out of New York. How about this? Story finally breaks about an unmanned drone that was within 200 feet of a commercial jet over New York. So the FBI is asking anybody, have you seen anything? It's like Crime Stoppers. We couldn't really find any information out. So could you help us, Mr. and Ms. Public, and let us know about any information about this potentially dangerous deal? It was the crew of an Italia flight 608. That was the flight approaching JFK, and they said they saw a drone. The pilot, you can hear the pilot talking, squawking about a drone approaching. That's scary, isn't it? thinking to think of that. And this happened back in March, it happened a couple of weeks ago. The FBI said that the Italia flight from Rome was about 3 miles from the runway when it happened, so 1,700 feet. The unmanned aircraft was black, about 3 feet wide, four propellers. But here's the scary part. It came within 200 feet of the jet. So if that were to hit, imagine the engine, what would happen there, and what was the deal on the drone anyway? So the FBI is trying to find out any information they can because they're worried about the safety of other planes approaching JFK. And, you know, could this happen again? The New York City Police Department was made aware of it. The Port Authority was made aware of it. But, and, you know, these are all people that operate out of the airport. But what are they going to do? Unmanned aerial systems or drones or remote-controlled planes could be a huge risk to a big passenger jet if they collided or were sucked into the engine. Think about birds in the engine and what's already happened with that. So you have a lot of people who fly remote control planes, but you're only supposed to go up to 400 feet, and you're supposed to be able to see it, and certainly not up 1,700 feet. So they're trying to figure out how they can cut down on what might be this fear of unmanned aircraft. What I would want to know is, okay, that had to be a pretty decent little drone that was up there that far. And what kind of information do they think they're going to get from people? What people are going to volunteer and say, oh, yeah, that's right. You know, I was really close to the runway, and I looked up, and I saw something that looked like it was coming right there at the plane. I mean, if you have a cell phone, if you had some kind of information from the cell phone. But, I mean, are you kidding? When I heard that thing about the public, and maybe the public will be able to know. I don't, unless somebody turns somebody in, hey, my buddy was flying a drone, he thought it would be funny, and try to push it up toward the plane. What do you think you're going to see, or what anyone else saw, that they're going to be able to come forward and tell you more things about the potential incident? So, you know, this is that whole drone thing again that makes people uncomfortable. And on the other hand, it probably was not something to be completely freaked out. It's probably somebody who was playing around with a piece of equipment that they had. And hopefully they weren't trying to take down the plane. Or, you know, if I was a little more cynical, which I can't be, I would think, yeah, that's exactly what happened here. It'd be scary, though, to be on that flight if that happened. So, you know, 3 feet wide, four propellers, close to that jet landing in New York. I guess it is scary if you think of it that way. You're on the plane and you see it and there's nothing you can do, and the damage that could have been done. I would be worried about the hitting the propellers, I think. But I do also get a big chuckle out of the fact that they're saying, well, any information. Yeah, any information. Were you the guy who set up the drone? How about that kind of information? That's the kind of information that they're not going to get. And, you know, if it's a more sinister reason that somebody was trying to do that. Now, the other thing that's scary about that is, what if there was something rigged with explosives, even if it was some kind of unmanned deal? That would be scary to think about in that sense, I think. Kind of a little odds and ends here at the tail end of the show. The big story still continues to be, at least from the Supreme Court, what's happening with the, what will happen with Prop 8, and, you know, ultimately what's the Supreme Court going to do in hearing this. And it's become such a wild circus outside of the courtroom. It's got people from looking at this from all sides of it, the no way, no way, no way. And yes, I'm gay, and I think I need to be able to have my rights just as well as anyone else does. But it's a whole constitutional thing again. So the court could rule pretty broadly on the constitutionality of it, or let states and lower courts sort it out. And I think they're going to let them sort it out. I think it gets tossed back. If there is any kind of a tight vote, which there would be, I think, then Justice Kennedy would probably be the swing vote in a narrow decision. So which way does this go? I mean, it certainly dominated social media. That's all we saw on Twitter or anything, even on Facebook. There was a lot of that going on Facebook, too. 56% in the CNN poll say that same-sex marriages should be recognized. So that's kind of flipped in a very, very big way. It used to be opposite, no matter who was doing the polling. But there have been a lot of marches. There have been a lot of rallies. The overriding legal question in the California case, anyway, is whether the 14th Amendment guarantee of equal protection under the law prevents states from defining marriage as that state has. So there have been many people, like I said, throwing in on both sides of this issue. Probably one of the most vocal, I think, would have to be the Family Research Council. They have had plaques and posters and all kinds of stuff and social media. They've got a graphic, a man, a woman holding hands, and that image has been sent all over the place, and people have been sharing likes and all that kind of stuff. And then there's the March for Marriage, which was advocating marriage between a man and a woman. They were sharing graphics on Facebook and got a lot of hits as well. And then there were other people marching and cheering on the other side, too, as well. George Takei, the Star Trek actor and very prominent gay rights activist, has a huge Facebook following. And he changed his Facebook profile image to the red logo. There's a red logo that's floating around all over Facebook, and that's what that's about. And then you had people like Ricky Martin and Governor Martin O'Malley and the Illinois Governor Pat Quinn and the Democratic Senator Mark Warner of Virginia. They changed their Facebook profile pictures to the red and pink image, too. So it's been interesting. Very, very, very much an emotional back and forth on this. And the overriding question, though, is simply the legal question is what I just said, the 14th Amendment guaranteeing equal protection under the law prevents states from defining marriage as that state has. That's probably, that's it. That's what they'll look at. So for thousands of years, marriage was a man and a woman. Now this could be redefined by the Supreme Court. What do you think? Send me your thoughts. AmericaTonight.net.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty, and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our families' health, are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.